You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. HRN is food and beverage radio supported by you. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org.
So you don't shun the devil with your rock and roll, Lord. Knows that country music's gonna save your soul. The devil wants his groove in them rhythm and blues that sin. It's gonna get you started.
Welcome back to The Speakeasy. I'm David Bolte.
I'm Souther Teague.
And I'm Greg Benson.
Boys are back.
Welcome back, everybody.
Thanks.
Yeah, two-week break. Yeah. I didn't do anything. Greg, did you do anything?
I did a couple things. I mean, a lot of booze news happened while we were gone. Tip Creep, according to the Wall Street Journal, is apparently showing up at self-checkout screens. Sunny D launched a sparkling vodka brand. Yes. The New York Times ran a couple of really gross looking mint juleps in their food section for the Kentucky Derby. But I think the big thing that we need to do is the what I did on my spring break show and tell is hear about Damon, because apparently while some of us were holding down the fort over here, you were on a pretty epic trip.
Yeah, I was on my honeymoon.
Hell yeah.
It was almost 2.5 weeks. Pretty awesome. Just lots of food, drinking, as to be expected,
and as one
just
does.
In different places, you know. Started off. My band played the Lone Wolf Coyotes. We played the Stagecoach Festival down in Joshua Tree. So
you
Jamie
took the
and
band
I,
on the honeymoon, is what I'm getting here.
Well, okay, so that
it's kind of a group wedding sort of situation. It's not a cult, Souther. It's totally different from that.
Okay, it's totally different.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there were few sacrifices, but you know, but not human or animal otherwise, just time. Anyway, we went down and played a show. So Jamie and I went down to Palm Springs on the Friday night. We stayed in Joshua Tree for Saturday, Sunday. The band played on Sunday. Then we actually started our honeymoon. So we flew to Zurich for one night only. There's a great bar in Zurich called Old Crow. They call it Old Crow. It's cute, but it's a really, really amazing bar. It reminded me a lot of Amore Amargo, except all spirits, you know, and a lot of vintage stuff there as well. I took some videos and photos. I'll send those over to you. But it was really cool. I want to spend more time in Switzerland. It was actually a long layover on our way to Santorini, Greece. We were there for 3 nights. It was a little windy, a little rainy, but it was really beautiful and relaxing. We were super jet lagged at that point, so we just kind of hung out, and then we went to Florence for 3 nights. Florence is my favorite city. As I was saying before the honeymoon, my favorite city so far, and it remains my favorite city. Jamie had never been. It's her favorite city now as well. Just, it's one of those places where, first of all, great cocktail bars and restaurants, but it's, you know, as far as the art museum and Renaissance, you know, like it's great, but there's also it. I don't know. I've never gone to a city where I just immediately felt, I've been there several times. I've never gone to a city where I feel so comfortable immediately when I land there. And that's unique for a foreign country, you know? Sure. But, and there's also a Gucci restaurant and a Gucci bar. And it was right next to our apartment. So we were spending a lot of time there. Anyway, then we left there and went to San Sebastian, Spain.
One of my favorite cities in the world.
Yeah, you know, it took us a minute to figure out the kind of flow of going into the tapas bars and ordering pinchos, because people are pretty pretty ruthless there. You got to, it's almost
like a Black Friday sale.
Yeah, exactly. It's like kind of reminded me of like getting on the subway. It was like, it's like, you know, there's a line here. People are waiting to get in, but people just like kind of like edge their way in. So once we figured out the kind of flow, it was great. And we went to Arzak. I will say that was a great experience. I got to meet the mom, you know, sorry, the dad and daughter duo, you know, got a picture with them as well. So send that to you as well. But then, you know, Arzak was great, but Barnester, man, Jesus Christ.
That's the thing, right?
Didn't get the tortilla, but that's okay because we got the steak. And that's probably one of the best steaks I've ever had in my life. I mean, it's definitely top three.
Gorgeous, gorgeous. The marbling, the sort of yellow colored fat, like just right. Unbelievable.
Gold. It's like goldenrod. Yes. And it's on a sizzling platter, so you can kind of continue cooking it if you just turn it on it each slice. And it's what a cool thing. And you're standing there. Yeah. Remember when, like, Prime Meats back in the day before we had bar stools?
That's it.
You would stand and eat, like, you would order Cote de Boeuf by the ounce, and you'd order, like, 200 ounces of Cote de Boeuf and just stand and eat steak. And it was the greatest experience. And that Barnester is now, you know, up there with that. They're together, you know, pretty much on the same level. But
I'm really glad. I'm really, really glad you went. That's easily kind of my favorite experience in what is probably my favorite city.
Barnester. Yeah. And you know, we went more than once.
Nice.
We probably went like 3 or 4 times, but we went to Gambara, which is, you know, one of Bourdain's favorite places, but they also have here's a little pro tip. If you're in San Sebastian, Gambara can, you know, get a lot of long lines, long waits, but just a block away, there's another spot called Tamboril, and that's actually owned by Gambara. It's all the same food, but without the crowd. So pro tip for you. And then also there's one cocktail bar in all of Old Town San Sebastian that we found. It's called Aran, A-R-R-A-U-N. And it's an incredible place. Reminded me a lot of Death & Company with the back bar that's like really tall and almost like a cliffside, you know, like the way the bottles kind of cascade. It was a lot like that. And it's like half a block from our hotel and really incredible. But I think the thing to me about all of this, the reason why I even bring up any of this stuff, I mean, is our honeymoon. You know, we didn't do a lot of touristy stuff. We just ate and drank our way through all of these countries. And that's right. I feel like, you know, people who listen to the show understand that, but that's the best way to get into a culture is by their food. So just eat your way through wherever you are. And
I totally agree. And I think, the way to understand a culture is definitely through its food. And now, with the, you know, innovative bars that are out there that are doing things like taking food and making it into drinks, like they do at Double Chicken Please. How about that segue, boys?
Yeah, that was good. I was setting you up, man.
Thanks, buddy. Teed it up. So today on the show, we're very excited to have number one on the 50 Best North American Bars list, Double Chicken Please's Jian Chan and Fei Chin. Welcome to the speakeasy, guys.
Hello.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, so absolutely excited to have you on and talk about the program that you operate over there at Double Chicken Please right here in New York City. And again, I'm sure you're still glowing from the high of your recent number one position at 50 Best North America, which was just held in Mexico a couple weeks ago. How was that trip for you guys?
That trip was definitely it was definitely an amazing trip. Like, we didn't really prepare ourselves to be, you know, receive this award, this high ranking. We just thought, like, you know, we go to this little town and then it seems so pretty, you know, we want to have some tacos and some, you know, street food or something, you know, some little parties. That's, you know, how we head into the city. But then it turns out it was a very magical experience when we received the number one rankings, and then we saw like these two giant big, I think it's Mexican, like a traditional really big doll that they mimic me and Gian's face on a really big doll. Yeah, in the party, I don't know if you guys saw the picture. That was the craziest thing I ever seen in my life. Yeah, so overall, it was a really magical and very excited trip.
Did you know they were going to make those dolls, or did you kind of come in and just look at them and be like, that one looks kind of familiar?
No, we definitely don't. And just like I walk into the crowd and I was like, wait a minute, that looks like Jian, because Jian's very easy to recognize. The hair, you know, and then the beard and everything. And I was like, that looks kind of like you. But the other one is a girl that with long hair. I do have a long hair, but now I dye my hair, so it's not a black hair. Anyways, yeah, I was just like, I'm not sure about that one. But the other one's definitely Jian. Yeah.
Right, because, you know, I've been on the 50 best list myself for Maury Margot in the past, and you get told you're on the list, but they don't tell you where until the ceremony. So how were you feeling when it got down to like 25 and they hadn't called your name yet, or 15 or 10, like just building, right?
Yeah, I mean, last year we were ranking number 17. So this year we, honestly, me and Faye was like, is there any improvement? That would be great. Even drop it is fine. We just do our best and then just, you know, ride and grind every day, do whatever we believe. Because honestly, we are a very young team. We only open for 2.5 years. And a lot of people with us has been 2 years. And then a lot of people with us is actually, this is their first hospitality job. Because when we opened in the middle of COVID, a lot of people switching their job. So they joined Double Chicken Please as their first hospitality job. So it's a really green, really young team. We also just feel like, yeah, let's just do our best and then do whatever we believe and then what we want to offer to all the audience, all the people who come in Double Chicken Please. So to receive all this ranking recognition, we are really thankful and grateful to have this opportunity. But on the other hand, we also like, wow, this is so fast. Like, we need to make sure everybody is, you know, keep their head down, humble, and really like, no, there's still a long way to go to really know there's still a lot of work we need to do and need to keep polishing, not just to live on this ranking, but also embrace it, but also share the joy with everybody in the industry. And hopefully we can make a little bit, you know, positive energy to everybody who supported us.
That's great. I mean, you guys did, your first several months were during the part of COVID where it was lockdown. There was no indoor service at all. Right? You started with no guests inside.
Exactly. The first 6 months, it was very tough. There was no revenue for a long time.
Yeah. A really difficult way to begin. And what you said there about your team being green and their first experience with hospitality. Talk a little bit about that. Is that, you find that to be advantageous? Like, you're not having to rip out any bad wiring and rewire someone. You can wire them the way you want from the beginning, right?
Yeah. I think it's yes and no. I mean, I think, of course, without hospitality experience, sometimes people tend to, you know, don't know really how to gauge what's hospitality, you know, how to be hospitable. And certain language we want to use in the restaurant, in the bar, they take a little bit time to pick it up. But once they pick it up, I think it's great, you know, because they don't have that much bad habit. They just like stick with the thing we think that will work and just keep encouraging them to keep polishing it and try to find their own way to express themselves. So overall, I think it's great. It takes a little more time. Also, we have a really diverse team. We have 27 people. All from different, we have, I think, 7 or 8 different nationality, 5 or 6 different languages. So it's a very diverse team. So sometimes we also find it's not the easiest way to run a team. And a lot of things, because everybody interpreted different way. So we need a lot of communication, a lot of team building to make sure everybody is aligned with all the stuff we do. So it takes time, but I'm grateful to have this opportunity and happy with it.
Yeah, it sounds like you're almost, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like the strategy is almost prioritize people who seem like they really care a lot about hospitality and the guest experience and are really enthusiastic about what you're trying to build over someone who comes in and is like, you know, I won, you know, best Ramos at this competition at this place at one time, and like, you know, I can quadruple stir and all this stuff. Like, it seems like you're almost prioritizing people who are who have that passion and that enthusiasm over people who come in and are, you know, have a 3-page CV of like all of that, like, these are all the drinks I can make, you know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Faye, do you want
to? I think we are both working in this industry for a very long time. And then this is the first place that me and Jian actually work together, you know, but we're collecting all our experience from before. We kind of know that, okay, what kind of people that we're looking for is someone who will, you know, share the same value as us. Because I believe, deeply believe, that skill is something that you can learn, you can practice, you can always get more. But, you know, that kind of synergy between us and them, you know, everybody between this brand and all our coworkers, it's something that hard to, you know, hard to build. It will be harder than building a new skill, you know. So, like, that's what we believe. So we only, for example, like, we only hire full time. You know, it's not a very easy thing to happen in a New York City, because everyone's kind of have like two or three jobs, you know, like 2 days here, 3 days there, you know. But for us, it's like, if it's not full time, it's really hard for us to do the training in our own way, in our timeline, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, so that's why it gets a little harder on our end, but we still believe this will work one day.
Well, talk to me a little bit about, because you said you were saying that this is the first time that the two of you have actually collaborated on a project. I'd love to hear sort of your origin story, your Genesis creation myth of how the two of you got together and dreamed up this concept.
Yeah, it wasn't an easy journey, I'll be honest. It wasn't an easy journey. We almost killed each other many, many times. But it's
in there.
Yeah, we know each other for quite a while, for like 12 years. And the first bar in Taiwan I work, that was because Faye was moving up to another bar. So I joined the bar. I have no experience, but we got to know each other. And since then, we become friends. I would always talk about our dream cocktail culture, about the cocktail we want to make. You know, at the beginning, we're just two bartenders that are really eager to make a good drink and have fun with guests. You know, that's just when we are young, that's just the only thing we care. All the way till today, I think a lot of things become, how can we pass down the experience? How can we, you know, keep polishing and keep forming a team together? And Faye's way and my way, because we are two different person too. We share similar background from Taiwan, but we also have very different kind of way to do things. We also have different forte. Like I studied design. I come from a performing, like, magician background. So I'm more like, I like to show. I like to give people a show. I like to, like, you know, really kind with people, really, like, give people chances. And then a lot of things is slightly different from how Faye grew up. She's a little bit more sharp, more direct, and she's a little bit more organized. Way more organized than me. So we have a different strength. So we try to utilize that as well when we are managing the team, or when even we are, you know, reaching out to the world, to the brand, or to any opportunity, because we have different strength. So we utilize our time differently on different projects, just to, you know, more efficiently to make things happen. So for example, most of the thing, if it's tour, no matter is to different country, to different opportunity, usually I take care of the conversation at the beginning. But is everything that goes back in Double Chicken, please, relate to operation, relate to like strategy, that leave it to Faye. And we all discuss that every single day, and then we make sure we all on the same page, and make sure this is the way we want to try for now. We stay flexible. I mean, at the beginning, we were not flexible. You know, when business is not making any money, when you don't see the future, there's no flexibility. Everybody just stick with their own way, because that's the only thing you know it will make it work. But at least now the team and the business is slightly better and it's more stable. So we are more flexible now too. But I think that just naturally comes to this this stage that we finally... We believe each other more, and then we also believe in our team more, and we give more flexibility, and then try to see what works, what doesn't, and a lot of try and error. Yeah, basically.
That's you got to learn from your mistakes, you know, and that's, I know that Souther's talked about that a lot, about, you know, like, because he opens up a new bar every week, and so he's like, you got to try it all, but, you know, it's every moment's a lesson, you know. Whether it's good or bad. So like, it's good that you are paying attention to that, you know?
Yeah. And being, you know, absolutely. And being flexible, you know, I always say work your plan, be flexible. Mm-hmm. We need to take a quick break and hear from our sponsors, but I want to come back and hear a little bit about how the both of you were winners of Bacardi Legacy at some point, correct? And how that ties in. And then I think Damon probably really wants to know about how Double Chicken Please considers itself a design studio that intermeshes with F&B and hospitality. So let's come back and keep talking to Jian Chan and Fei Chen from Double Chicken Please, number one on 50 Best North America. Stay tuned.
This episode is supported by HRN business member Food Karma Projects, dedicated to community building by creating unique food events that showcase the best local food, chefs, beer, and wine. Get fired up for the return of Rib King NYC for a full day of delicious fun at the Ultimate Memorial Day Barbecue and Live Music event, featuring two sets of jammed out funk and blues mashups. It all takes place on Saturday, May 27th at Industry City in Brooklyn, New York. To purchase tickets or for more information, visit ribkingnyc.com. Food Karma Project supports HRN's creative educational reporting and storytelling that drives conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place.
Every glass of wine tells a story. And these stories reveal hidden histories, flavors, passions, and sometimes they unravel our darkest desires. In Wine Enthusiast's newest podcast, Vinfamous, journalist Ashley Smith dissects the underbelly of the wine world. We hear from the people who know what it means when the product of love and care becomes the source of greed, arson, even murder. Each episode takes listeners into the mysterious and historic world of winemaking and the crimes that have since become, well, Vinfamous. This podcast pairs well with wine lovers, history nerds, and crime junkies. So grab a glass of your favorite and follow the podcast to join as we delve into the twists and turns behind the all-time most shocking wine crimes. Follow Vinfamous on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen, and be sure to follow the show so you never miss a scandal. New episodes drop every other Wednesday. Cheers.
And we're back. You're listening to The Speakeasy on Heritage Radio Network, and we've been talking with the team from Double Chicken Please. And so I haven't been there yet. I know. When I get back to New York next time, I will definitely. It's high up on my list. It was high up on my list before
the number one.
Yeah. And so now I'm now glad, on the list. now that we know each other, at least I'll have a chance of getting in. I'll give you plenty of notice, but you mentioned before that the in some of our notes you mentioned that it's a design studio. So I have a degree in design, and can you kind of expand on that? What do you mean by that? The design studio is a bar.
So I studied industrial design back in Taiwan when I was in college. And in college, I met my best friend. His nickname's Turkey. And my nickname in Taiwan, everybody call each other nickname. My Faye is Faye's nickname. It's not his real name, but we call each other nicknames for some reason. So GN is my nickname too. And it's actually stand for something like chicken fillet in Mandarin. So me and Turkey, we both are chicken-ish. That's why before we graduate, I thought we're going to open a design studio together. So I named it Double Chicken Please. So that's the name for the design studio originally, which didn't happen 15 years ago. When I moved to New York, start with bartending, all this. When I was thinking to open the place, I still want to bring this name back, you know, because for me, everything starts with design. And sure. So I named Double Chicken Please. So I designed the interior and the cocktail. If you see our logo, our symbol, it's a cocktail spoon and there's a cocktail glass. It means cocktail. In the middle, there's a screwdriver and a pencil. That means design. So it's design and cocktail. And then Turkey designed all the graphic, all the painting, everything in the place. So he still worked with us as an in-house designer to do all this art and design. And that's also our future plan. We have a lot of design and art stuff coming up soon in the collaboration. So yeah, we still want to run this place as a design studio, but we start with food and beverage. You know, most of this world works, most likely is you get into film or music industry, and then you pivot back to do clothing or apparel, and then you come back in to do hospitality. But we are starting with hospitality, and we want to explore more. So it's a little different route, but we're just trying our best to see if that works.
That's very cool. I love it. You also mentioned something about being a magician. I also dabble in magic. I can make drinks disappear. tell us about that.
Well, I think magician is something I love. It's something you love to give people a surprise in a way. You love to showcase what you have been practicing about, you know, it's a showmanship. And I think that can really apply to bartender, especially in the US, because in the US, we have tip system. So in a way, compared to Asia, compared to Europe, in the US, I think bartender is more like an entertainer. You really need to entertain your guests. You need to interact with your guests, no matter it's the language you use, no matter it's the showmanship you show them. So it's actually really exciting and really fun. I think that's just one of the big things why I'm so in love with bartending, because I just love serving people. Not necessarily a trick. I don't necessarily think a trick is necessary anymore. It's more like the experience you give it to them, and the product you give it to them, you serve them, to custom the thing for people, to make them feel special, to make them feel their time is worthy and they have a memorable experience. I think that's pretty much it.
Very cool. So I also have another magic trick. I can Irish goodbye pretty good as well. I can make myself disappear.
You make yourself disappear.
hopefully not without paying the tab. But I love that, because it's performance is what you're seeing. You know, like,
yeah.
I definitely know that we talk about this a lot. Like, when you're behind the bar, you're kind of on stage, right? Mm-hmm. And that's it's the whole experience, really, is what it all comes down to. We're providing an experience. Customers can go anywhere and they can go to the bodega on the corner and buy a six pack of beer or a bottle of wine or, you know, whatever it is that they're into, take it back home and drink for a lot less money than they would going to any of our bars. But it's all about the experience. What you're paying for really is the experience. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's like you have to, it's important to always remember that it's, you know, it's bigger than just what's in the glass, you know?
For sure.
Faye, do you think that maybe the design of the cocktails, which are mostly inspired, is it mostly or is it all inspired by food? Do you think that maybe plays into this sort of magic thing? And you know, both of you were in Bacardi Legacy, both of you were winners in that, I believe. Did you use any of those kind of things when you were competing? You know, like I feel like I've been to Double Chicken Please now twice, and I feel like the drinks are a little bit of a little bit of a magic trick, right? You get it in your hand and it looks like one thing and it tastes like another.
Yeah, I competed Bacardi Legacy year before on GN. I was in was 2015 and GN was 2016. Mm-hmm. So when I competed Legacy, my drink was not exactly what DCP's concept right now, especially the Double Chin Please back room, which we call it the coupe. Mine is more a little more like the front room concept. If I would say, you know, we're still utilizing a little bit of ideas from that drink into our one of our tap tail right now. Yeah, so, but definitely I would say the concept based on fruit inspiring. So we kind of like deconstructing all the dishes and put it back into a drink form. That's definitely a one way of showcasing our design. Yeah, but that's not the only way how we make drinks, how we do drinks, how we, think about cocktails. There's a lot of different way, but we definitely wanted to utilize that as our design background to show, hey, you know, the drink could be designed in this way, in that way. You know, I can put a French toast into liquid. I can put a, you know, red egg gravy into liquid, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Can you talk about maybe a specific drink on the menu that you're kind of most proud of, or one that's maybe pretty popular, or even the opposite, one that maybe isn't as popular as you wish it was and you wish your audience would snap into it?
I think my favorite one on the menu right now is definitely the one called cold pizza. I'm not very a big pizza eater. I can't say that because since here's New York, everybody's going to hate me. You're not New Yorker. You don't eat pizza. But like, I'm sorry. I'm still trying it. You know, I do like pizza. once in a while, but just not every day.
I'm not like a big pizza eater by New York standards. I only have it like once a week. It's practically like that's like the Des Moines equivalent of having it once a year, basically.
Oh, Des Moines.
Yeah, but I definitely love that drink.
So yeah, talk about its construction and its presentation. Paint a picture for the audience to hear.
Yeah, you know, like when you at night and you don't want to go to a pizza shop, you're so lazy, and then you order like the delivery, and then they only deliver you the whole pie. So obviously, I can't finish the whole pie, right? Yeah, so I had like a couple times experience. It's just like, you know, I got home, I'm a little drunk, I'm so hungry, there's nothing to eat. I order a pie of pizza. I was like, okay, let me try some pizza. And I take two bites and I pass out, and then it end up on my counter, and then you wake up the next day, and that is a pie of cold pizza, right? And you're still hungry, right? So you're just like, but you're like rushing to work, you know, gotta prepare. Of course, you gotta make yourself a cup of coffee, but then, you know, okay, let me just take a couple bite of this pizza from last night. Yeah, so that's pretty much the idea of the cold pizza. And then we use tequila as base, you know, then we infuse with cheese in the tequila and also some of the burnt toast. We literally burn the toast in the oven, you know, make it to kind of semi-burn, not real burn-ish. And then we infuse all of that together. And then we make Thai basil and lime into a cordial. So we have Thai basil lime cordial. Yeah. And then we mix with fresh tomato water and a little touch of egg white. Yeah. That's how the drink was made.
I relate to this drink so heavily. Like this is perfect for me. And you know what? Okay, so I have to say, like, more cheese cocktails, please. Okay, like seriously, because I had a blue cheese cocktail. I mean, like, we know like blue cheese stuffed olives, but this was like a straight up blue cheese cocktail in San Sebastian, and I was like, man, not enough cheese cocktails. So yeah, this is great. I'm all about this cocktail for so many reasons. And I was just looking around your cocktail menu before the show, and I saw that one, and I was like, I'm glad you asked about it, Souther.
Yeah,
because it's really cool. But also,
well, because I think it's fascinating, and I think that, you know, until you're at the door at Double Chicken Please, it's hard to get an idea of what's going on in there. So I'm glad to have you guys on and talking about it to our audience that maybe doesn't have a chance to come to New York. Yeah.
I think one thing in the school, what I learned from design is like how you make people to relate themselves to your product. And I think that's a big thing we try to implement in Double Chicken Please. The thing we do, the product we offer, or everything we do, we try to have a way for people to relate to it, their personal experience. For example, the menu in the back, in the coop, is more like food inspired. It's because nothing tastes better than nostalgia. So if you have kind of memory related to all these food items, you might have a taste in your mouth before you even order it. You know, it's just like, you know, you think you can relate, you know what you're gonna expect for. And then when you get it, it's in a different form, it's still surprising in a way. And no matter you like the flavor or not, but this is something we try to make people also remember what they have drink. You know, easy to associate, to remember. So it's also a strategy to do. For example, a lot of our drinks have a graphic on it. No matter it's a pizza drink, on top have a small hand holding a slice of pizza, which is like a sticky rice paper, something like that. So we apply a lot of graphic in our drink. That's also a trick for people to remember in a different, not just the flavor, but also graphic, also visual. So to complete the whole experience and to relate to people.
I always say that with drinks, and when it comes to food and beverage, you can smell the food before you see it, right? So like your first sense you're using is olfactory, but with drinks, most of the time it's visual first. So you should always make sure that your drinks look amazing and memorable. I like the classic section on your cocktail menu too, because there's some, you've got an Aviation, a Sazerac, and a Moscow Mule, and you leave that name as it is, but there are obvious riffs. For instance, the Aviation has gin and maraschino, lemon, and creme de violette, but there's also clarified milk. But you could have just named that something else new, but it's, I like that you kind of like, you're kind of playing with the idea of what this classic is, just kind of tweaking it and then kind of leave that name. But then, you know, the Moscow Mule that you make is with, you know, Moscow Mule is vodka and ginger beer, right? But yeah, you did something really cool with this, and it reminds me of a dish I make at home with eggplant. I always do a honey, miso, and ginger glaze on the eggplant. And so in this Moscow Mule, I'm like, this is like, for once, I want to order a vodka drink, which is rare for me. But it's Grey Goose, honey, miso, and ginger beer. That's brilliant. Like, what a cool way of thinking about that ginger component and taking it completely to another place. So I love that. It's just really cool. It's fun. It's playful. The Dirty Margarita, you've Italicus, which is one of my favorite spirits out there. Verjus and shiso and olive, like in a margarita. It's like, it's cool. Very cool.
Thank you.
So it's just like a lot of playfulness, but also it's just, you know, I can't wait to go there. I'm sorry that I'm the only one that has
no, no worries at all.
But then one more thing is, like, you have a house shot, which is the DCP house shot, which is mezcal with plum and shiso. I mean, I think, like, my bar has the hard start. It's Fernet Branca and Branca Menta. And, like, it's kind of gone out beyond the bar and served in a bunch of other places. And, like, I love the idea of having a house shot because it kind of takes – it brings the fun back into – the cocktail bar that has for many years been kind of like a somewhat sometimes stuffy and too serious at times, mm-hmm. you know, but bringing a house shot into like a classy cocktail bar is like, I think everyone should have a house shot. I mean, that should be the first thing you have when you walk in and the last thing before you walk out. So yeah, very cool stuff here. Can you talk to us about, I know we've talked about the coupe a lot, but I want to talk about the front room because it's more of a, this is kind of like when you first walk in, it's a little bit more casual, right? And you have a lot of draft cocktails, correct?
Yes.
Or all draft cocktails.
Yes. Yeah. So the whole place actually is also paying a homage when you're in Taiwan. There's a, when we are young, there's a bubble tea shop. And behind the bubble tea shop is a design studio. So the whole place is a little bit paying the homage of that place because Faye and me, we grew up in Taiwan. We are basically drinking bubble tea grow up. You know? So for us, the tap cocktail concept is a little bit similar to a bubble tea shop, but in a different way. So the ingredients we use, the way we make the drinks is we try to keep it simple, but still have a character inside. But something's on the lower ABV side, something easygoing, something mostly our highball, basically highball format, depends on what kind of, it's carbonation or it's nitro, but overall it's a highball format. So the whole overall vibe is more young, fast, and just really vivid, you know, just very energetic. That's the vibe we want to give people, to have a contrast to the background as well. But I personally, I do really like the draft tail. You know, when we opened in the middle of COVID, people asked us, say, did you guys design this for COVID? Because it's really clean. You don't touch anything. You don't touch garnish. There's nothing. And you just hand out a drink. And people enjoy it that way. We were kind of surprised, but we said, yeah, that works. But yeah. I mean, we yeah, just
of course
really
we designed
liked
it that way.
Yeah. It wasn't our intention, but I love how people just like associate with that. And we said, well, that actually makes sense. And we're glad we do it that way. Also, the tap drink, it just, I like the simplicity of it. It's just simple. But not, we didn't cut any corner. The flavor and the ingredient is also something we really put our heart and soul to develop. It's not easier than develop the drink in the background. You know, it's pretty much equal. But the way we do it and the way we present it, we try to make it as simple as possible. I just want to make everybody feel comfortable to drink it, to enjoy it. You don't need to holding certain glassware, you feel uncomfortable. You don't need to feel, oh, this looks girly or this looks manly, or like, it's just everything is really consistent and simple, so everybody can enjoy it. So,
well, I would impose that, you know, simple final step, right? Getting it to the guest, pulling it off the tap and handing it to them. That's the simple, but it's still equally as complex and thoughtful, everything you're doing up in the front room, as all the things you're doing in the back room. It's mm-hmm. just sort of a, they don't get to see behind the curtain.
Yeah. A lot of work goes in before it goes into the keg.
a lot of front loading. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. One thing I want to touch on with you guys is, it looks to me like you're kind of starting to put together some sort of an educational platform that you want to share with F&B and maybe everybody. You want to touch on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, we have this plan for a long time since we opened DCP. We just really, because that's how we used to do it when we in Asia, and how we pre-COVID as well. Pre-COVID, people usually get together, try to learn things, try to be nerd together, you know, try to like figure out some technical problem with the drinks, or sometimes we talk about the bigger issue about the industry. And we just really miss that. We miss the tightness of the community, and then we all put in some opinion together and try to make them better. No matter it's service, no matter it's drink, no matter it's a concept, no matter it's a bigger picture thing, the problem we are facing as a whole in its industry. We just really hope we can create a platform or offer a space to host that. You know, we were thinking to do this maybe once every season at different places, so we can also have a couple of guest speakers come to talk about whatever the theme we come up for that time, and then follow up with a small like gathering, cocktail happy hour party, you know, just for everybody to mingle. Because I think in New York, our community is not tight. It's just because we have a really big community. The community in New York is just bigger than a lot of different cities. So I think we also really hope we have this kind of platform and opportunity for getting everybody together, and we talk about something, and we all like try to understand each other more as well. Yeah, basically. So that's just something. Honestly, it's a long shot. We slowly try to like pitch in the idea and then organize this. So we take our time, but hopefully that's something we can achieve in the near future for sure.
I mean, it sounds outstanding. You know, there are other organizations that do those sorts of things, but I feel like maybe they don't cater to the right sort of mindset in a lot of ways. I don't want to call anybody out, but I think everybody knows what I'm talking about.
Especially, I want to say, because after COVID, a lot of things changed. The thing we have learned before COVID, and the thing how can we apply that after COVID is a very different, even like kitchen system, you know, hiring kitchen, everything. So for us, it's more like we want to share our experience and also learn from other people how you deal with this problem, and how can, if there's something happen again or down the road, how can we do it better? We often do our own internal, almost a small tales. We do like a retreat for our employees, for our staff. So in the retreat, we also talk about what's our vision as a company. What is marketing, and how marketing apply to Double Chicken Please, and what is event design, and how event design apply to Double Chicken Please, what's the cocktail making? All of these things we want to share with our team member. You know, to join a bar, a team, you can be a host, you can be a bartender, you can be a server, you can be a runner, but if you want, you can be everything. Because that's how me and Faye grew up, start from the bottom and learn everything. And now we run the place, own the bar. And we do think if we can do it, everybody can do it. Especially we are two kids from Taiwan. At the beginning, we don't even speak English. And now we are handling a team, speak six different languages, try to make things work. It's difficult, but we stick with it. We're still doing it. And we just feel like maybe there's a thing we can, you know, we want to learn from everybody. Like I constantly go out, like during Best 50, I asked so many questions to Jordy's, the GM of Katana Kitten. I said, how did you guys do it? Like, what's the program you guys have? Like, I'm just so curious and want to know and want to grow and want to do better.
Well, and then look, you eclipsed them, right? You got number one and they were number three this year, right? So I guess Jordas gave you too much intel.
It's a very different style, but
yeah, of course. Yeah. But that's great. And that's, you know, I think that you're definitely right. New York City being as large as it is, the community is, we all know each other. We know of each other, but I don't think we know each other well. And mm-hmm. I think that trying to get a regular gathering together of like-minded people is a great idea. You know, I've been doing something like that since the pandemic as well, at a more, since we grew into the larger space. Every 2 months or so, we have an educational event where we invite all bartenders to come and hang out with us. And, you know, we usually get maybe some pizza, Faye. we'll have someone there to do an educational component for us. And then we can powwow and hang out together afterwards. And it's been pretty successful so far. We usually get around 40 to 45 people to come. So love to, you know, fold you guys into that group as well, or be Please a part do. Of your, or be a part of your group when it formulates itself. So I'm all for it. You know, education is the key to, I think, literally everything that we as humans do. The more education we can get about whatever it is we're passionate about, the better. So I'm excited to hear and see that you guys are spearheading something, and I'll champion it as much as I can.
Thank you.
I'm starving looking at this menu. No, I'm seriously, like, I was just thinking about, you know, we don't need to drink alcohol, but we need to eat. So like, it's yeah. another kind of like interesting kind of like, I don't know, there's something enticing about the food inspired menu, but it is making me want to eat a lot of food and also get drunk. I'll just be honest.
Yeah, why not both?
I like getting drunk.
Like, this is like the genesis, or the kind of like evolution of the Jell-O shot. You know, like we started with edible Jell-O shots, and now it's like we've taken it to the other end of the spectrum with these cocktails and double chicken. Yeah. Please.
As we kind of wrap up, Faye or Jen, either one or both of you, have you had any? Failures is the wrong word. Have you had any ones that didn't go the way you wanted them to go? Have you had any ones that made it to the menu and were surely either misunderstood or just not ordered by the public? What ones could you point out that kind of didn't make it?
I think during the R&D process, we definitely have a lot of drinks that didn't make it on the menu. Yeah, we try many, many drinks before, way before DCP opened. We had a, like, I live in downtown, has this like very tiny, 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 tiny New York apartment, as everybody knows. And then we just do all the R&Ds in the little kitchen. Also Gian's apartment too. You know, it's like very tiny kitchen, and we're just trying to do all the R&D. Anything that we're doing right now, like a fat washing or milk washing and stuff like that. So we definitely have a lot of drinks that didn't make it to menu, or we wanted to, you know, finish one day, you just maybe we could stuck at some point, and then we maybe, you know, try some other drinks. And, you know, I think that there was one we tried to make before. I think it was the Vietnamese pho. The pho noodle. Yeah. Yeah. Like me and Jim, we love the dish. We love pho so much. Like we can have it, like, I don't know, maybe 3 times or 4 times a week. No problem. Yeah. So we definitely wanted to just try to make something that we like into a drink. Yeah, I think that was like R&D for a bit, and then it was kind of stopped at some point. Yeah, maybe in the future you will hop on a menu. We don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I feel you on that so hard. It's so, you get those white whales sometimes where you're like, oh, I really want to make these flavors into this format, and mm-hmm. you just make yourself crazy for years. But when you inevitably crack the code, and I'm sure the two of you will, it's such a satisfying experience.
Yeah. Magic.
Yeah. You're like, where's my Nobel Prize? I've done it.
Yeah, for the front drink, tap drink, you know, we used to have this drink. It's one of my favorite. It's almost like a michelada, like ojo rojo, like a clamato. We clarified the clamato with yuzu, with mezcal, with a little bit touch absinthe. And for me, I'm not a drinker. I cannot drink alcohol, but I just really love the flavor. I like that savoriness, that refreshing, that's kind of spicy from a jalapeno. but somehow it doesn't sell. It's just like, it broke my heart. It's just like, why? Why people doesn't like it? I was like so confused. But I said, this is one of the best drink ever I have ever created. And then why does it sell? But it is the nature, I guess. It's just always like that. It's hit,
you know, it could also just be, frankly, timing. You know, pull it off the menu, yeah, bring it back in a different season, maybe change the name slightly. There's all kinds of factors, I think, that fold in.
For sure.
But, yeah, you know, the R&D is, for me, and I assume for you and for all of us, the R&D is oftentimes frustrating, but it also yields the best rewards. You know, nothing cool is easy. If it was very difficult for you to do, then it probably is cool, right?
That's true.
Man, it just reminds me of this. We had this shrimp paste curry cocktail at Grand Army about like 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Nice. And it was so awesome. But it was so weird for a lot of people. So like,
right.
once you had it, you were like, oh, I get it now. It was like, it was like the hardest thing to make. There was a lot of prep involved, and it was incredible. But you know what? After, you know, Double Chicken Please winning the best bar in North America, maybe it's time to bring that cocktail back.
That's right.
Because maybe it's time now for it, you know.
That's the theme for Grand Army's next menu is seafood, shrimp paste, all shrimp paste all cocktails. Shrimp paste, yeah.
You know, that reminds me, we used to have this drink. We wanted to put on menu. We actually do a test run in Asia, and, you know, everybody liked it. But when we did a test run in U.S., it's like everybody said, So that drink contains this ingredients called Thousand Years Egg. Have you heard it before?
Century
Egg.
Century Egg, like dark egg. Century Egg. Yeah, and then that just like, if you don't really like that kind of food, you would straight think that's so fishy, you know? Like some smells fishy, tastes fishy, and it's just weird to a lot of people here. So we had to like remove from the menu because it's too challenging, you know?
Oh man, but I want to try that too. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to get off the air so I can book a flight to breakfast. New York.
Yeah. Please do. We'd love to host you.
Well, get here in time for lunch.
Absolutely. You know, I just want to say thanks again for being on the show today. I know you're busy people. I know that you're probably have a lot of other interview requests coming through, especially after winning this awesome award. So thank you again for taking the time to be here with us today. And again, congratulations. What a cool thing to do, like to have happen. It's like, it's where do you go from here? You know, where do you go from number one with 50 best? I think you just open up another, it's like, it's time to open up another one, you know, just next concept.
Double chicken, please.
Double chicken, please.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for having us. Thank you, Greg. Thank you, Souther. Thank you, Damon. Just hope to see you guys at Double Chicken Please again soon. And yeah, thank you for having us again. And hopefully we can do a lot of fun things together in the future.
Yeah, we're definitely going to. Yeah. For sure.
Absolutely. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Everyone go check out Double Chicken Please, number one bar in North America. That's all I'm going to say about that. Definitely go check it out. And, you know, I'm glad to be back in the swing of things. I had a great honeymoon vacation, but I'm glad to see you guys. Glad to be back in the studio with you. And I know that we've got some new and exciting stuff coming up, like today's show and for the summer season. So I'm really excited to be here. And Greg, I think you had some news about Speakeasy as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of cool things that are coming up in the future, we are launching actually as of airtime, we have launched our new Speakeasy Patreon. So this is us just putting out a little tip jar on the bar in front of everybody. We're super happy to keep doing this show to everybody for free. I love doing it. I think of it as a little public service that I can do in my otherwise very profligate lifestyle, and really, really happy that this is able to go out to everybody and just, you know, provide a little enjoyment for people with no price tag attached. But we figured, you know, why not put out a little tip jar and give people a little bit of extra fun stuff. So if you join our Patreon, we have a couple different tiers, but they all get you all the same fun perks. Yeah, they get you 30 extra minutes of content with each one of our guests. And at every month, you're going to get a newsletter that's not only going to have a little sort of where are they now section about the guests that we have coming on, in that past month, but they're also going to have recipes inspired by what some of our guests are talking about. And I'm personally already really excited to see what we're going to come up with after talking with Faye and GN here today. So if you want to see what that is, subscribe to our Patreon and you'll get that delivered to your inbox in early June.
Outstanding.
Cool. Right on. Thanks for setting that up, Greg.
Yeah, no problem. And be sure to tune in next week as well when we have Aaron Gregory Smith from the national chapter of the USBG on to talk about some really interesting initiatives that they have going on, including trying to crack the code of figuring out how to give people good and adequate healthcare in the spirits industry. So something that I get up on a soapbox about a lot. So I'm excited to hear what they've got going on and what they're cooking up over there.
Very cool. All right. Well, that's it for the Speakeasy this week. Check out our Patreon. Check out Double Chicken, Please. And until next week, cheers, everyone.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you. So you don't
shun the devil. The Speakeasy is powered by Simplecast. Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food and drink radio supported by you. Keep in touch at heritageradionetwork.org/subscribe.